All right, well, today I'm excited to begin in a brand new series on the Holy Spirit. And the reason I'm excited about that, some of you may be like, all right, what is this all about? The reason I'm excited about that is because the Holy Spirit, I remember when I was preparing to be a pastor in our denomination, we have to fill out a whole lot of paperwork. You have to sign your life away and give them like your blood type and your credit score, and you know, it's like crazy. And we filled out like enormous amounts of paperwork about personal stuff, about theology, about Bible studies and sermons and all sorts of things, and you turn it in, you're like, dear God, Holy Spirit, intercede, right, for what I just did. But anyway, one of the questions that was asked is, who is the Holy Spirit? And as I was writing this, I started writing the paper about who the Holy Spirit is and giving characteristics, and I finally read it, and I said, you know what, this is so sterile and off to be talking about the Holy Spirit like an academic discipline. And so I wrote that. Said it seems strange and even sterile to talk about the Holy Spirit like an academic discipline, because the Holy Spirit is the very presence and the power of God who is available to every single person. The Holy Spirit is the presence and the power of God who comes alive in every believer and sets them on fire for God. And it's one of those things, when we were singing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, my prayer is at the end of this series that we would begin to say, like, some of us are singing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, you know, but my prayer is that by the end of this, we will be in such awe that God has sent us the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing, in the Bible, when we read about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not just some soft presence of God that's available to us. The Holy Spirit was a game changer for the people of God. In fact, I read this quote before, and I'm going to butcher the quote, so let me just paraphrase the quote. Basically, somebody once said that if the Holy Spirit were to be removed from the early church, everybody would notice it. Everybody would notice, where's the Holy Spirit? What's happened? But today, if the Holy Spirit were to be removed from the church, not a lot of people would notice it. And the difference is in the early church, people were so overwhelmed by the presence of God and by the power of God that was available to them that they were able to do magnificent miracles in Jesus' name because the Spirit of God was in them. And so today we're starting that series on the Holy Spirit. I'm excited. But I don't know about you, but growing up, the Holy Spirit was always kind of a mystery to me, at least for me. We would sing songs about how God is the Trinity, like we sang about, I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? How God is three, God is one God in three persons, which is like, for those math people out there, one plus one plus one does not equal one, right? But somehow the Trinity does. One plus one plus one equals one. God is one in three persons. And the best way to describe it, I think, is to think about H2O. H2O. H2O is a compound. H2O is water. H2O is also ice. H2O is also mist. All three different substances, but one compound, H2O, right? It can change into different things, but it's still water. It's still H2O. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. But that still, you know, kind of like, how does that work out? I don't know. But I understood Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I understood God the Father because I have a father. Like, I understood God the Father because I've got an earthly father, and it made sense that we have a heavenly father, you know, up in heaven, who created everything, who helps us and all that. I understood God the Son, Jesus, because I'd seen pictures of Jesus, you know? I'd seen those, you know, really false pictures of Jesus that have, like, the blonde hair, blue eyes, Fabio look, you know, which he was Middle Eastern, by the way, did not look like that, but I've seen those. I remember in my church growing up, we had this picture of Jesus that was a little creepy, it was dark, and it was Jesus was, like, I guess in the woods at a cottage that looked like Snow White's, you know, cottage where the dwarfs were. And Jesus is knocking on the door, you know, Jesus knocks on the door of every person's heart is what it's trying to talk about. But, the truth is, it kind of creeped me out. But I understood Father and I understood Jesus, and I could envision Jesus, you know, in the world, working in the world, teaching in parables to his disciples, doing miracles, living and loving, and I could envision him dying on the cross. But when it came to the Holy Spirit was kind of weird to me. Can I be honest? The Holy Spirit, I never quite understood it. Because the Holy Spirit, sometimes called the Holy Ghost, that kind of creeped me out. Because it seemed like some paranormal activity was going on. There's some spirit-like thing floating around in the world somewhere out there over the rainbow, right? So I didn't understand that. And to make matters worse, there were a lot of churches and some people who overemphasize the Holy Spirit. And there's people who, you know, they begin to speak in other tongues and other languages, and I didn't understand that, so I just called that weird, right? I didn't know any better. Just called that weird. And it was one of those things where there's a whole lot of people who overemphasize the Holy Spirit so much that everything is the Holy Spirit. So I heard the story about this pastor who came and was he was going to be a guest preacher, and it was a country church, and he showed up late to church, which is not good if you're the preacher. But the service is going on, and he's backing his car into the parking spot, and he bumped this little wooden old church, right? And he went into the building. He thought, oh, this is not going to be good. I just hit the church, and everybody in there was going crazy. You know, they were all like, woo, pastor, you won't believe what happened. The Holy Spirit came, and the building started to shake. And he was like, I'm not telling him what happened, you know. So sometimes it's like a Bible falls off the table, and people start saying, the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here, but sometimes we overemphasize the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, in my experience, and in most places, what I find is the pendulum tends to swing the other direction, and we tend to underemphasize the Holy Spirit. In fact, growing up, we would sing about how God is three in one, but to be honest, I kind of lived, and we kind of talked about how God is more like two in one. That there's, you know, there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and then there's that crazy, weird Uncle Eddie, the Holy Spirit, you know, that nobody really wants to talk about, and nobody really seems to bring him up at the dinner table, right? This is my experience. Maybe you had a different one. And so what we want to do in this series on the Holy Spirit is we want to get a biblical understanding of who is the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do in the lives of believers and in the world? And why does the Holy Spirit matter? And my prayer is that you would come to know even more intimately the presence and the power of God through the Holy Spirit in this series. Let me demystify something for you a little bit. What is the Holy Spirit, right? Let me simplify it as much as I can. The Holy Spirit, as simply as I can put it, the Holy Spirit is the real presence and power of God who is actively working in the world. Basically, the Holy Spirit is God. It's just God in spirit form. So nothing weird, nothing crazy. It's God in spirit form. The Holy Spirit is the real presence and power of God who is actively working in the world. God in spirit form. And when most people think about the Holy Spirit, most people tend to think immediately to the book of Acts. In fact, next week we're going to look at the story in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit rushed in like a mighty wind. It was the presence and the power of God, and it came to live inside of believers at Pentecost, giving them real power from God, and they did incredible things in Jesus' name because of the Holy Spirit. But you may be surprised to know that in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is not just in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, is listed over 800 times in the Bible. Did you know that? And it's not just in the New Testament, but there's so many occurrences of the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In fact, I was surprised to know, maybe you'd be surprised to know, that the very first mention of the Holy Spirit is found in the second verse in the Bible. Did you know that? Let's check it out. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and then we'll read verse 2. It says, in the beginning, God, there was God, right? I love that. Before anything's created, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here it is. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And what does it say? The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters in the very beginning of time. It's kind of crazy. I always thought that there's like, you know, God the Father, and then later, you know, came Jesus, and then later the Holy Spirit. But when we read this in the very beginning of time, we see God the Father is there before creation even happens. In John chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus was there too. It says, in the beginning was the Word, or Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says he, Jesus, was with them, was with God in the beginning. But then here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the waters. And so in the very beginning, we see God is in relationship to God's self. God was in community with the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of them were there before anything's created. And out of God's desire to connect with the world, out of God's desire to love people and to love the world, God created. God created. And so you see all three working actively in the world. You know, the word that's translated here, the Spirit of God, the word that's translated for spirit in the Old Testament is a Hebrew word. Let me teach it to you. It's a ruach. You got to have like a little bit of loogie in the back of your throat. Let's say it together. Ready? Ruach. Let's say it again. Ruach. Yeah, some of y'all are good loogiers. Good job. Don't spit on the floor. But anyway, the ruach simply means breath or wind, but not like some like little itty-bitty, you know, breath. You know? No, it's like a violent wind, a violent rush of wind or breath. And so it means when the Holy Spirit comes, when the ruach comes, he always comes with power, with power. For instance, in the Old Testament, there's an occurrence where you remember the people of God were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They were wandering from where they were in slavery in Egypt to the promised land, but for 40 years, they were wandering in the wilderness. God was leading them, and they were asking God, God, give us food. We're in the desert. And God gave a manna from heaven, and it says the Spirit of God, the Ruach, sent in this mighty wind. Antennas go up, right? This mighty wind that brought in quail from the sea. We talked about it a few weeks ago, how about 3 trillion quail fell on one day. The Holy Spirit of God, the Ruach, brought that in, right? In the New Testament, though, let me teach you the Greek word. In the New Testament, the word that we see for spirit is this, pneuma. Pneuma. It's got a P before it, but it's pneuma. Right? So the ruach, the spirit, the pneuma, the Spirit of God, which literally means current of air, blast of breath, spirit. There's a few images that we see of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. One of those is, you remember when Jesus was baptized? In Matthew chapter 3, I believe, when Jesus is baptized, and as Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit, it says, descended on Jesus like a dove. And so this is one of the symbolisms of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you'll see, you know, a dove. Sometimes you'll see imagery like that with the Holy Spirit. Another imagery we see with the Holy Spirit is at Pentecost, like we'll talk about next week. After Jesus left, the Holy Spirit rushed in like a mighty wind. Hello, the pneuma, right? But also, it said the Holy Spirit fell into the lives of believers, and it was almost like this fire from heaven. Right? And this fire from heaven set the people of God on fire for God and made them alive. And so with the Spirit of God, we see images of a dove and of fire and of wind. So I want to take you back. I want you to check out what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them, hey guys, I'm about to go away. Like, I'm going to die on the cross. And I'm going to have to go away, right? I'm going to ascend into heaven someday. And I'm going to go there, and I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. He's telling them this. He's telling his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. But when I go, I'm not going to just leave you. I'm going to send somebody else who's going to help you, somebody who's even better than me. And here's what it says in John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, Heavenly Father, and he will give you another advocate or counselor to help you and be with you for just a little bit. No, what does it say? To be with you forever, right? Here's what it says next. It says the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. This is kind of how I was growing up. I didn't really understand the Holy Spirit, so I didn't really accept it, the Holy Spirit necessarily. I don't really know what to look for, right? It was kind of weird and hocus pocusy. It says, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And so what Jesus is saying, look, I'm going away for a little while, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit of God to be with you, but not to just be around you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be in you. Now, this is where antennas go up. This is where the Jewish audience of Jesus would have been like going crazy at this moment. Because for us, we're like, yeah, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we move on. In the Old Testament, in order to encounter the real presence of God, there was a time where the people of God had to carry pipe and drape, and they would set it up like a tent, and they would worship God and in the wilderness. And there was one part of the tabernacle at that point, later the temple, there was one area where the presence of God, the most holy place was, where one person, only one day a year, could walk into the presence of God. They would slaughter a lamb, and they would tie a rope around him just in case something happened, and they would pull him out, right? Just in case he died in the presence of God, right? And they would go in, and they would make sacrifices for the people one time every single year on Yom Kippur. And so for people hearing this, it's like, God can be in you is just the craziest thing, because you're saying the holy, holy, holy God, the Lord God Almighty, the one who one person one time a year could go in and could be in his presence, you're saying that that God can live in us? And Jesus is saying, yep, I'm going to send somebody who's going to live in you, the presence and the power of God. And so for every believer, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our helper, who has promised to be with us forever. Now, the reason that's a big deal, forever, is because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would kind of come and descend on people for a short time, and then the Holy Spirit would depart from them. Think about King Saul. The Holy Spirit came on him, anointed him as a leader, and then after he kind of got out of alignment, the Holy Spirit ascended from him, right? Left him. And so that's why David in the Old Testament, when he sins with Bathsheba, that scandalous scene that looks like soap opera, you know, he's kind of like seeing this woman bathing and he says, "Who's that lady?" You know, he gets excited, right? Ooh, excuse me. and all of a sudden, like he does some things he wouldn't be proud of, right? And the thing is, he cries out to God in that moment and he says, "Lord, don't let your presence leave me. Don't remove your Holy Spirit from me," you know? And so here Jesus is saying, look, from now on, after I go to heaven, the Holy Spirit, the real presence of God, this time is never going to leave you, ever, ever, ever. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to be with you, and he's going to live in you if you're a believer. And I want you to notice, Jesus didn't call the Holy Spirit an it. Sometimes people say, "It is leading me." Well, Jesus uses a personal pronoun here. He says, "He," because he's the third person of the Trinity. He's a person, right? You know, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit is going to be your advocate or your counselor. And the word that's used here, here's another Greek word. The word that's used here is this word, parakletos. Parakletos. If you're an athlete and you put on a pair of cleats, right, what does it do? It gives you traction in your life, a parakletos. The Holy Spirit is your parakletos, right? You'll remember that, right? And basically, it's two words put together. Para, meaning alongside with, right? Alongside of, kind of like a paralegal who works alongside of, right? Or a parachurch who works alongside of a church. And also the word kaleo, which means called. And so very literally, the parakletos, the Holy Spirit, is called to be alongside of us or to be inside of every single believer, to be our counselor, to be our intercessor. You know, when you pray, there's times when you don't even know what to pray. Like, there's stuff that happens in your life sometimes, you're like, "I don't even know how to pray." But you start to just babble words and pray, lob words in the atmosphere. But here's what the Holy Spirit does. He intercedes for you. And he starts to take those words and he directs them to your Heavenly Father. Here's what they mean. They don't have the words, Father, to ask you what they really want, but here's what they mean, right? He intercedes for us. He prays for you and he helps you to pray. He's your counselor. He's your advocate. Your advocate with the Father. He's your comforter and he is your helper. Let me ask you this question. We were playing a lot of games at the beach. My kids love games. One of the games we didn't play, but I love this game, is the game Would You Rather. How many of you have played Would You Rather before? Yeah, like, would you rather eat peanut butter sandwiches for 2 years straight or have nothing to eat for 3 weeks? Would you rather, right? This is kind of how Would You Rather works. So let me ask you a Would You Rather question. Would you rather have Jesus with you in the flesh, like Jesus right beside you all the time, or would you rather have the Holy Spirit? Now, some of you are like, I don't want Jesus to see everything I do, so maybe like some of the time, but just go with me. Would you rather have Jesus with you, beside you, all the time, or would you rather have the Holy Spirit? It's not a right or wrong. Let me just ask you, how many of you would say, yep, I would rather have Jesus, right? If you were to say, would you rather? It's okay, you can group participation. All right, nobody wants Jesus. All right, we're going to have some fun in here. All right. How many of you would say the Holy Spirit, right? How many of you plead the fifth because you just don't want to act unspiritual or anything like that? All right, cool. All right, so here's the thing. I was tempted to say Jesus, like, because think about this, having Jesus beside you, that's awesome. Like, if you get a headache, man, Jesus is beside you, you know? Forget about Tylenol and all sorts of things. You say, hey, Jesus, my head is hurting right now, and Jesus goes poof, and your head gets better, right? That would be awesome, right? Or at the same time, if Jesus is with you all the time, I mean, think about this. We were going from Daytona Beach to Atlanta yesterday, and it is awful. Like, it is like hell, basically, you know, getting through McDonough. It's awful. Like, we always get stuck in traffic. We always find ourselves on a magical road that we've never been on in our lives, right? How cool would that be if Jesus was in the car right beside us? You know, we'd say, hey, Jesus, why don't we just skip through McDonough? In fact, why don't we just skip this whole trip? Can you just speak your word, Jesus, by faith, and get us there from Daytona Beach to Atlanta because we need to rest? And poof, you wouldn't even have to take the trip, right? Jesus is with you. Forget what would Jesus do bracelets when you wanted to know. You just ask him, hey, Jesus, hey, what would you do? You know, what would you do in this situation? Think about how good your work life would be if Jesus was right beside you. You know, you'd go to an interview, and you would ace that interview. Everybody would just like you because you got Jesus with you. Or let's say your relationships. Think about how much better your relationships would be if Jesus is right there beside you. Or let's say it's the end of the month, and you're kind of out of money, and it's kind of like, you know, we don't know what we're going to eat. And you go to the pantry, and all you've got is a peanut butter sandwich and a few chips. And you start looking around at all your hungry people in your family saying, we want food. And you start to think, oh no, but I got Jesus beside me. What do you do? Jesus, you bring the sandwich and you bring the chips, and Jesus multiplies it into an incredible party to feed your whole family and the entire community, right? Yeah, Jesus. That would be awesome to have Jesus with you literally all the time. Jesus in the flesh would be the best thing ever. But Jesus actually answers this would you rather question in John chapter 16, verse 7. Here's what he says in the New Living Translation, John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. But Jesus, come on. It says, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, your advocate, your counselor, your guide, the Holy Spirit, the Ruah, the Pneuma of God. And so it's kind of interesting because here's what Jesus is essentially saying, to reduce it best, it's this, is that the Holy Spirit in us is greater than Jesus Christ beside us. That's crazy, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? The Holy Spirit in us is greater than Jesus Christ beside us. This is what Jesus is saying. It's better for you that I go away. Because the same Holy Spirit is the same presence and power of God as Jesus. And so, think about this. Jesus is just one person. He's one person. And yes, he's Jesus, and he can speak words and things happen. But Jesus is just one person. And it would be hard for Jesus to be at all places at all times to help every single person all at the same time. So the Holy Spirit, though, is the literal presence and the power of God who is everywhere, all at the same time. It's better. You know, Mandy and I went on a trip to New York City. How many of y'all have ever been to New York City? Just say, woo! Sorry, we went to Disney World, and they made us do that when they say, hello, humans. You have to go, woo! So I thought I'd try that with you guys. Anyway, you don't pass your Disney trip. Anyway, we went to New York City, and we were excited. It was our anniversary, our fifth anniversary. And I'd been a couple times for singing stuff and things like that, but I was going with my wife, you know? And so I was excited. It's our anniversary, so I tried to plan something special. And so we saved money for us to go to a couple Broadway shows. And so as we were, we got to this one Broadway show. You know, we paid full price for the one we really wanted to see. And then we went to the bootleg area and we got cheap tickets for a show that was still really, really good. So that's kind of how we did things. But anyway, we went to the real show that we paid the full price ticket for. And we sat down in our nice stuff. And she was all excited and I was excited. And they give you this playbill, which is basically a program to tell you, like, all the advertisements, and here's the cast, basically. And I opened it up, and there was an insert in the program, and I thought, oh, this is interesting, and I started to read it, and it says, tonight's show is going to be a little bit different. Tonight's show, the lead role is actually going to be played by an understudy. The lead role is not going to be performing tonight. It's going to be performed by an understudy, and they listed the person's name. Now, don't get me wrong, an understudy is really good. Like, an understudy, I mean, they are super talented in New York City, right? They've learned the role, they've prepared everything to perform for that role. They're qualified, but let's be honest, they were second pick. I'm competitive, right? They were second pick. And so it's interesting because, you know, here we are, and I'm thinking, we didn't spend all this money to go see the second fiddle person, you know, to see some understudy performing on Broadway. We want to see the real thing. Here's the thing. When Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, Jesus isn't saying, look, you've had Jesus, you've had me with you, this has been awesome, but I'm going to give you an understudy now. I'm going to give you the second place or the third place person, you know, because he's the third person in the Trinity, but you'll be okay with it, right? You know, you've already paid a mission to ride with me because I'm Jesus, right? And so he didn't give us some understudy. The Holy Spirit is the literal presence and the power of God who is working in the world to bring about God's purposes. And if you're a follower of Jesus, the presence of God, this crazy thing, the presence of God lives inside of you and promises to help you. Now, let me give you just a few ways, because you may be saying, well, how do we experience the Holy Spirit? Because there's a whole lot of people that seem to be, like, not really Spirit-led, and there's some people that seem to be encountering the Holy Spirit, and how do I know what the Holy Spirit does? How does the Holy Spirit's presence, why does it matter? Why does he matter for me? Let me give you just three quick things about what the Holy Spirit does to minister to us that you can watch out for in your life. The first thing is this: the Holy Spirit works to comfort us. Now, this is not like, you know, a Christian snuggie, you know? The Holy Spirit is not just some soft snuggie for us. But here's what it says in John chapter 14, verse 16, King James Version. It says this: and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, helper, advocate, that he may abide with you forever. You know, some of you I know are going through some really difficult things right now. Maybe there's some decisions that you've got to make, and there's a season of uncertainty. Maybe you or somebody in your life is going through treatments for some kind of medical thing like cancer or other things, and you're just grieving through this, struggling through this, trying to figure out how do we make it out. I know that there's many people that are going through very difficult things, or you know people in your life who are. And what I want you to know is that the Holy Spirit of God, the presence and the power of God is with you right now. And you may be in a season where all chaos is all around you, and where you don't even know which way is up. You feel so burned out. You feel like, how are we going to make it here? But in the middle of all that, you may be sensing the comforting presence of God, bandaging your hurts, helping you in this season of difficulty in ways that goes way beyond your comprehension. And I've experienced this personally in my life. So many times in my life, I've gone through difficult seasons. I've gone through seasons where there was so much chaos around me that I didn't know which way was up. And I've sensed God, the Ruah, the Spirit of God, the Advocate, the Parakletos, giving me this peace in the middle of the storms that didn't match what I was facing. It's the Holy Spirit of God that reminds us that God is with us, that God is for us, and that God is working on our behalf. He's with you. He's your comforter. Here's the second thing that the Holy Spirit does, his presence does in our life. The Holy Spirit, number two, the Holy Spirit guides us. Like a counselor, the Holy Spirit guides us. In fact, John 16:13 says this: but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, I was captivated when I was on vacation watching the crazy, crazy scene of what was happening in Thailand in the last couple weeks. Did y'all see that? If you didn't know, if you weren't paying attention to the news, there was this soccer team that got trapped in a cave in Thailand. 12 boys, right? There they are. 12 boys in a cave in Thailand, and their coach as well. They're trapped in a cave, unable to get out. And in that cave, it was so dark. Like, it had rained so much that they were unable to get out of the cave. And so it was dark. They couldn't figure out where to go. They couldn't get out on their own. And what they needed was a guide to help them. Let me show you this diagram. Here's another crazy picture of what they had to do to get through this cave. Miles of cave, water and rock and tight squeezes. What happened was they needed a guide to be with them. And so one guide went into the cave and went ahead of them, shining a light, showing them where to go. There was another guide that went behind them, right, to make sure that the people that needed to be rescued, that they were protected on both sides, right, on the front and on the back. They were being led. And the guide literally went in there to be with them. When they couldn't get out of the cave on their own, when they didn't have the power, the guide went to them and walked with them and swam with them and crawled with them, giving them really oxygen, making sure that they had life. And this is really what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit goes ahead of us to guide our path, lighting our way to show us where to go. And also the Holy Spirit, when we don't have the strength, the Holy Spirit walks beside us and behind us and around us and in us, giving us real like oxygen for them, giving us the life of God so that we can make it through. And so when you don't know, when you don't know what to do, you start praying and the Holy Spirit will start to guide you. Or he can show you and give you wisdom and discernment, and all of a sudden you just feel like you know the answer. It's the Holy Spirit. Or oftentimes what happens is, like a good counselor, the Holy Spirit can actually show you what to do and where to go next, right? This gentle nudge of the wind of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit also makes sure that he guides you to not miss opportunities that God has for you. Like, we've had people in this church who have said, I don't know why, but I felt like God wanted me to go to the hospital to pray with my friend. I don't know what that was. It was the Holy Spirit. Or hey, the Holy Spirit will say, hey, I need you to talk to this person. Hey, I want you to stay where you are right now and be faithful. I want you to go and to take a step. It's the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding you. Third thing the Holy Spirit does, lastly, is this. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and draws us to God. Convicts us of sin and draws us to God. I don't like to be convicted of sin, right? But the Holy Spirit, when there's an area of our life that's out of alignment with God, or when you're going down the wrong pathway, the Holy Spirit will send an alarm to your conscience, and it'll say to you, like you're about to touch a hot stove, don't go there. Don't do that. Turn around. Remember who you are. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, warns us and says, don't go there, helps us. And so a lot of times we say, oh, that's just my conscience. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to your conscience. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit also draws us to the love of God. In fact, the Holy Spirit is already at work in the heart and life of every single person. Before you even knew about God, the Holy Spirit was working to draw you. I went on a mission trip to Japan, and I knew this is an incredibly secular place. And I went there thinking, I'm going to bring God to all these people. But what I found out when I got there is that God was already working on the hearts and on the lives of every person. And all we had to do was show up and pay attention and to point people to the subtle ways that God was calling out to them, drawing them into connection. So let me ask you this. How are you sensing God drawing you and leading you right now, his Spirit? I want you to start paying attention to that. Start paying attention to the movements and the nudge of the Holy Spirit in your life, who's your guide and helper and counselor, who draws us and convicts us. And I want to encourage you that as you sense God moving in your life, to not spend your life running away from what God's wanting to do, but get in alignment with how God is wanting to work in your life. How is the Holy Spirit moving? Let's be aware. Let's pay attention to that. Holy Spirit, come. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way that you love us so much, that you don't leave us alone, that you sent us, the Holy Spirit, to be with us and to be in us. God, I thank you that you are our guide. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you guide us and you lead us through the pathway of life. God, I thank you that you comfort us in times of trouble. God, I thank you that you are our God who convicts us and warns of things that are on, that are maybe we're out of alignment with you, God. But God, also thank you for the way you draw us to yourself. You draw us to your love. And so, God, I just pray in the next few weeks that you would begin to start, you would begin to make us aware of the way your Holy Spirit is nudging us, and that we would be obedient to walk forward in how you're leading us. God, I pray that we would be more aware of your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, come, have your way with us, lead us and guide us. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.